of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome inside the playbook for a Tuesday here on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. Week two of the NFL season is now upon us. Patriots have started off in, well, at least fair fashion with a 38-24 win on Monday over the San Diego Chargers. Yep. Wishful thinking. Miami Dolphins.
You're thinking ahead already.
I'm thinking ahead already. Eric Scalavino, PFW, joins us in the opening hour of the program. Hour number two. We'll have Josh Lewin, who is the voice of the Chargers, joining us here in the playbook to start turning the page a little bit towards San Diego. We do have to sort of create two shows in one because this is a Wednesday. Normally, this would be a Tuesday. I kind of feel like it is a Tuesday since the Patriots played on Monday. So for the uninitiated, Tuesdays, we nitpick, right? Nitpick Tuesday.
Plenty to nitpick on.
So this is going to be Nitpick Tuesday on a Wednesday, just like we have Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. Sometimes that happens. It happens when you're playing on a Monday night. So, Nitpick Tuesday on a Wednesday. We do want to jump into that because I know there are some. I actually thought Andy brought up some legitimate points that I do want to address. We've got some roster moves to talk about, some potential personnel moves to talk about as well. And then, hour number two of the program, we turn the page here in the playbook and we move directly towards San Diego and we spend our time talking about the Chargers and we'll do that with Josh Lewin. I almost completely messed this up, Eric.
The one keyboard in the studio,
the one keyboard
that
in the
works,
studio that works,
and you're almost
and I just I came very close to sabotaging it. I know because I have water here and I'm trying to get situated. There's the problem, Kevin. Here is that there's not enough rope. See, it's very tight here. So I tried to pull it. It pulled out of my hands. I hit the water and I put some water on the keyboard. So I cleaned it up though.
Looks like we're having no emails today now.
No, we will have emails.
We'll have them.
That's Matt, by the way. Matt's joining the program today, too.
Yep. Good. You can chime in a little bit. That's good.
It's quite all right. You're allowed to do that.
Yep.
He has to, you know, we have to learn to fade out the applause when we mention his name, though.
Oh, yeah. He's going to start pumping it up a little bit higher. My God.
I heard something today. I got to admit, from time to time, you know, you like to listen to the local talk shows and obviously, since I do a lot of stuff for WEEI, spend a lot of time there. But, you know, the Patriots flagship is 98.5.
Right.
You know Scott Zolak and Andy Gresh. Gresh is a part of the radio broadcast pre and post, and then so is Zoe as well. They do a midday show on the station here.
Some good stories?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm listening to them do a bit earlier this afternoon, and it involved the St. Louis Rams. Apparently, I don't know if it's on the website. Maybe we can check this out, Matt. I don't know. But they have Ram rules that they had, you know, some diehard fans actually do for their video board to explain to the fans how to cheer and when to cheer during games. And it was actually...
This was serious?
Serious. It was so bad, it was funny. And they mentioned me by name, obviously, because they know that we've been doing the whole first down thing here for the better part of about 15 years.
But that was organic, wasn't it? That just sort of
naturally happened.
Right.
Now, what is happening, if you listen closely to other teams' games, when you're watching other games around the NFL, you listen closely. Obviously, you know the NFL is a copycat league, and they've been copycatting the first down thing in stadiums all around the NFL. They've been doing it in college stadiums now. They've been doing it for the better part of the last 5 to 10, well, almost 15 years that we've been doing it. Ours happened spontaneously. We never really instructed anybody to say first down. It just kind of happened with voice inflection and hoping that it would work on. Gary Grodecki was the previous game entertainment manager, you know, years back. We just kind of said, you know, wouldn't that be cool if the fans actually ever caught on to this? So I would do a little emphasis. And they eventually caught on.
Yeah, you helped it along a little bit.
I helped it along.
But without directly
saying. But without directing somebody to say, hold their hand and say, okay, every time they get a first down, you need to say, first down. It was one of the most incredibly goofy things I've heard in a long time. And the fact is that if you have to instruct your fans how to act,
you got bigger problems.
You got major problems. I think, you know, the Rams just became, along with Jacksonville, my two favorites to get the hell out of town. Can you imagine?
Get out of town.
Get out. If you have
going to
instruct
to Los Angeles?
Going somewhere, but go someplace where fans will actually appreciate it. Go someplace where the fans will actually know what the hell to do and when the hell to do it. I mean, come on. Really? You have to instruct your fans when to cheer? What is this? Pop Warner?
Wow.
John, I was just looking at it. I just brought it up.
Did you find it?
That is awful.
Can you play the audio? Can you play it?
Yeah.
Play a little, Matt. Play a little bit. Because this is, it just killed me. Killed me. All right, we'll let him get that going. Yeah. Let me know when you have it.
Fans, here we go. We have the loudest stadium in the NFL.
To help us all come together as the 12th Ram, we've created Ram Rules.
Follow these five rules to give our team dome field advantage.
Together as one, we can do it.
We can do it!
Oh, my God.
Wait,
here you go. It's getting better.
Down in gold. When the Rams offense is at work at the line...
Ram Rule 2.
He's got a first down.
Every first down for the Rams, our announcer says, St. Louis, you scream
first down.
Oh, come on.
Ram Rule 3.
On third down, let's help our Rams by making some noise!
Yeah! I can't hear you.
That's enough of that.
That's painful.
That.
That's that.
Okay, that's my first nitpick of the day. Is that okay? Does that qualify as a nitpick?
Yeah.
Holy crap!
The worst part.
That qualifies as an outrage, John. Not a nitpick.
The way people are dressed up in that video.
Yeah. Face painting, right?
Well, not even just the face paint. The woman who's in it.
Yeah.
Like, in her hair, which is up, she has like little tiny ram horns.
Yeah.
If you're gonna get ram horns, go big or go home. These are like 2-inch tall ram horns.
Go big or go home. I love it. Oh my God. Okay. That just got me going today. And I'm like, if you have to instruct your fans to do things in this fashion,
that's pathetic.
You don't deserve your team. Get out now.
Man.
So anything that I'm all for anything bad to happen to the St. Louis Rams this year. They have now gone from I really don't give a crap team to I hate their guts team, and I hope they get killed.
And did you notice it wasn't home field advantage, it was dome field advantage?
Dome field advantage, creative, right? Duh. Is it just not sad?
This
is the N-effing-L, people. Come on!
I don't know if you heard it earlier. Did you hear what Tom Brady said earlier when he was talking about fans for this upcoming game?
No.
No, oh, yeah.
You want to start drinking
early.
Oh, yes. To get lubed up. Yes. Yeah. All right. Exactly. Awesome. Yeah. That's fantastic. I loved that.
He didn't have the designated driver part, though.
No. Isn't that great? Unbelievable. Just flat out unstinking believable. All right. So that kind of got me going today. I don't know what's getting you going, but if you have your nitpicks, it's time now to fire them off. You know the web address, webradio@patriots.com. That's how you hit us via email, webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Again, the area code is 508, and the number is 298-0398 if you have your nitpicks. You can also hit me up on Facebook. John Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. If you're not a friend already on Facebook, well, then you can submit the friend request, and we share topics. We do posts. We do Facebook chats. During the course of the game, you can post your questions for the program on the Facebook page, or you can send them via Facebook chat, and we can go that route. And then, of course, you can also follow me on Twitter, @JRook0722. That's @JROOKE0722. That's the Twitter address. So if that works for you, it works for me. I'll get that up here momentarily. But let's lead it off today with Big Al. Big Al, you're in the playbook today, so what do you got for us today? Oh, it's got to hit. I got to hit answer.
You got to hit.
Okay, there it is. Hold on, I'm working it out now. Well, I'm hitting it, but it's not answering.
No, air. You want to hit air on this side?
Oh, that side?
Yeah.
Where, that one?
Air. Yep.
Ta-da! I figured it out, Al. How's it going?
Come in. Can you hear me?
I got you. I got you now, brother.
Earth to John.
It's here. What's happening?
Not much, man. Hey, in case you're keeping track. I'm about 2 hours from Jacksonville, so the Jaguars go, you know, that's a first down, your Jacksonville Jaguars, and then the fans go, move the chains, move the chains, move the chains.
That's stupid.
That's the shtick in
that's just stupid.
In Jacksonville.
That's just stupid.
At least they're not ripping you off, though, John.
Well, you know, we just kind of, like I said, it's just, no, everything is a ripoff. My son asked me the other day, you know, he says, Dad, everybody copies you. And I said, well, I guess, you know, copying's the sincerest form of flattery, at least you say so. But then he says, yeah, but it's all goofy. And I'm like, well, that's true. That is true. It's very
unoriginal.
Goofy.
It's unoriginal.
Yeah, it's like it's been done. I'm almost to the point now, I don't want to do it anymore. Honestly.
I don't know if the Jaguars put out a press release to tell the fans to do that, or if that's something the fans did on their own, or it was this Rams thing or whatever, but that's what they do. But
that's awful.
It is. This is my nitpick
from
Monday.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're really cutting them fine here because there was a lot to crow about, certainly, with all the passing. And I thought Rozai Dowling played very well. They were trying to pick on him, and I was pleasantly surprised by, because we didn't see much of him in the preseason.
Right.
And I think he's got a lot of potential. But anyways, this is something that a lot of teams do, and I don't understand it. I don't understand how it is that teams can't manage the clock better down the stretch. I just don't. It just drives me nuts. And the Patriots did it on Monday night. If you recall, we have a two-touchdown lead. Miami scores with like 3 minutes to go. The onside kick, they kick it out of bounds. Patriot ball on the 50.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the game should be over at that point if we manage the clock correctly. First and 10, run the ball. Second and 3 with a 7-yard pickup. We're second and 3, and then we have a motion penalty, which stops the clock. Then it's second and 8. We pass complete to get it back to, I think, 3rd and 1. Miami takes a timeout. They're down to 1 timeout left. So the big thing is we're at 3rd and 1. Miami has 1 timeout left plus the 2-minute warning. Okay? Everything in the world screams, run the ball on 3rd and 1. Run the ball. Why in the world? You got a 2-touchdown lead. Why? Your ball's at midfield. Who cares? Run the ball on. Force them to use the last timeout if you don't make the first down.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't make the first down, at least force them to use their last timeout. What do? We throw an incomplete pass. So then it's 4th and 1. Then you're thinking, well, we can go for it now and wrap up the game now. But then if you don't make it on 4th and 1, what happens? Change of possession.
Right.
What happens? Clock stops. So you really can't. You have no choice at that point but to punt the ball. Okay, this is something that Sam White screwed up years ago with when he had the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
They had a 4th and half a yard from their own 30 or so, and White's got the brilliant idea. Well, let's just run the ball. Like, I'd rather run the ball and pick up the first down than go back in punt formation. You know, we could lose the game because it was a close game down the stretch. Well, 4th and 1, he runs the ball. They don't pick up the first down. The clock stops. San Francisco was playing. They had no timeouts left, but by not making the first down, the clock stopped. So the Niners got one more play. They hit a touchdown to Jerry Rice and won the game just because, you know, we were afraid to go back in punt formation or whatever. You know, you got to remember that if you change possession, the clock's going to stop. And it's like the Patriots got to 4th and 1 and finally figured that out. Oh, that's what happens if you don't make it on 4th down. You know, you need to know that on 3rd down that could happen on 4th down. So they just messed that up completely. And I really didn't feel that the game was wrapped up until, for some reason, Brandon Marshall was out on the flank and called a timeout and used up. He burned up their last timeout with about, I don't know, it was a little less than 2 minutes or a minute and a half to go. At that point, you know, you kind of felt, well, they have no timeouts left. They still got to get 2 touchdowns. I think this is pretty much in the bank. But until then, because the way we messed up that 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, we kept them in the game. And I just, for the life of me, I don't understand how teams don't figure that out. And usually you think Belichick, situational football, you know, that's something that we all brag about, and I think he messed it up there.
Interesting.
Well, if they had lost the game, I might agree with you, but yeah, they did have a pretty comfortable lead at that point.
Yeah.
I you know, once Welker got the long touchdown, I pretty much, that was the backbreaker, I think, for the Dolphins. I know they came back, they got the touchdown to, who was it, Devon Bess, who got the last score for,
I believe it was Devon,
for Miami.
Yes, yeah.
They made a nominal effort to come back, but I wasn't really all that worried. I mean, I agree with your nitpick about, you know, what to do in most third down situations, you know, when you're at midfield and the other team only has one timeout, but didn't cost them the game, so I'm not overly irate about it.
Well, that's kind of like the ends justify the means. I just think that that game would have been over a lot sooner if we had simply tried to pick it up on third down and then forced them to use their last timeout. I think that would have effectively ended the game right there instead of extending it on out and relying on Brandon Marshall to call a bizarre timeout, you know, that didn't appear to be necessary, but he was, I don't know, uncomfortable or something and felt like he needed to call one. It wasn't even the quarterback or the coach that called it. The wide receiver called it, but whatever. Anyways, so beyond that, though, I think there were a lot of great things, certainly, on Monday night, and I really liked Dowling a lot. I thought he played tremendous. I liked Haynesworth and Wilfork in the middle, and this is, I think, the defense really, a lot of the yards the Dolphins got, they got after the game was effectively over, when they were playing a little looser, so I'm not that worried about the 400 yards or whatever that the Dolphins gained, you know, that means that somehow our defense is suspect. I think the defense is only going to get better as the season goes along. And hopefully the offense can maintain, it's hard to maintain 522 yards passing every week, but if we can just, you know, kind of stay consistent on offense and keep improving on defense, I think we got a chance to have a really, really good team.
I would agree with that, Al. I think you're analysis is pretty spot on. The one thing that I am going to suggest here is that, quite frankly, it is 1 week. And so because it's 1 week, anything that we need to do, you know, beyond just looking ahead to this next week, I think is really kind of pointless. And I said this last week, and perhaps Eric and Al, thanks for the phone call. I said this last week, and I said this in particular about Ocho Cinco. And I think it applies really to the whole team, and I want to get to, you know, some thoughts on Chad in just a couple of moments anyway, but fact remains is that you really can't base a 16 or a 17-week regular season on 1 week. You might be able to pick out a few trends, but, you know, 1 week does not a trend make. 1 week does not a habit make. 1 week is a blip on the radar screen.
It's a snapshot.
It is. And sometimes it's not even that. You have to have a ground floor. You have to have a base. You have to have an anchor. You have to have a foundation, mm-hmm. if you will, to anything that you're trying to build. And if you're trying to build a championship franchise here, then you have to have a place from which you started. And you either go up or the ground, or it goes down and it completely implodes on you. And those are losing seasons, you know, using a, you know, sports vernacular here. The Patriots have set themselves, I think, a very strong offensive foundation for week one. But I think we all expected that. What I believe here is that we expected more out of a defense that, quite frankly, I'm not sure we had a right to expect yet. We have new names. We have different faces. We have some big-name players that are out there. But the problem here is, number one, they left their other teams for a reason. The Patriots clearly thought that they still had some quote-unquote gas left in the tank, although I'm not a big fan of that phrase, but I think it's appropriate here. And number two, they need to have time to play with the guys who we do like here. That takes time. You can't just plug somebody in, flip on a switch, and say, all pro. You can't do it. It doesn't work like that. Football is a consummate team game. If you haven't figured this out yet, folks, the offensive line is a great example. You have six players, five, and I count the tight end as an offensive lineman too, and I realize that sometimes the Patriots play with two tight ends. They did a lot this last week, for instance. But you have, all right, let's just stay with linemen then. Non-eligible receivers. You got five guys. You got a center, you got two guards, you got two tackles. Those guys have to operate as As one.
Right.
If they don't operate as one, then you see things happen like false start, holding, cut block. You can see any number of penalties that
leaks in the pass rush.
Leaks in the pass rush. It sucks the life out of your offensive drive, okay? So if you're not acting as one, then it's not going to happen for you. And believe me, if you're a guilty party, you won't be in there very long. Not just with the Patriots, that's with any team in the NFL. So you have to operate as one. You have to assimilate into a unit. And I think one of the great things that the Patriots done over the years, and let's give a lot of credit to Dante Scarnecchia. He's been around as long as anybody as an offensive line coach in the league. He's an associate head coach here. He's basically Bill Belichick's right-hand man. And the Patriots have long gone with the philosophy of versatility being the key to their success. This is why you see guys flip-flop, move around. Dan Connolly, for instance, on Monday night, moved in seamlessly when Dan Copen went down with his injury. Did the Patriots miss a beat?
Not,
hell no!
Not one.
They threw for over 300 yards when Connolly was in there at center. Nate Solder, a left tackle by trade. And if you've ever been on an offensive line, or you know one, or if you've played the position, you know that right tackle is a different position than left tackle. Yes, they're tackles, but the footwork, the technique, everything is different. Because generally, when you're right tackle as opposed to left tackle, sometimes you're talking about weak side as compared to strong side, defensive setups, you got different alignments, you got different protection values. It's a different position. Sometimes left tackles don't make good right tackles. Nate Solder, who came in, I thought he was brilliant on Monday night. He was going to be my superlative. I always give a nitpick and a superlative every week. And I do it, by the way, in my column on Go Local Prov. Okay, cross promotion there.
Fine. You have that right.
I have to do that, right? But I have to do that. Well, it's yours too.
No, it's your show. I'm a guest.
You belong here.
I'm a guest.
You belong here. All I'm saying is that he moved over and played seamlessly. The entire point here is that if you do not play together as a unit, you do not have ultimate success. You must allow the guys who have not been in the playbook, so to speak, in the Patriots system, doing things the quote-unquote Patriot way more than the last 6 weeks, you got to allow them some time here. It is unfair to criticize completely until these guys have more time. I said last week, getting back to my original point here, Eric, you know how I like to go on.
We do that. We go on tangents.
Yes,
on this show.
We do go on tangents. One of the best things we do.
Often humorous ones.
Get to the point! Okay, yeah, sorry. That's my mother yelling at me there. Get to the point. Okay. Last week I said Chad Ochocinco, we have to give him at least 2 to 3 weeks to see how he's done. The fact that he caught one pass for 14 yards this last week means nothing to me. He was only targeted 3 times. Okay. He was only on the field for 18 snaps. Clearly the Patriots had an up-tempo offense thing going. There's Scott Zolak. I just saw him through the window. He's peeking in. Wanted to say hello. Duh. Come on in, Zoe. Make yourself at home, Nimrod.
I'm not worried about Ocho.
No, I'm not either. But I don't think people should be all up in arms over the defense just yet.
The only difference with that, John, is there's a disturbing carryover from last season and a lot of new players on defense. We've talked about this on previous shows.
Right.
The carryover being their ineptitude on third and fourth down, giving up big plays, not getting off the field, allowing the other team to move the chains and continue drives.
I'll buy that.
That is still a problem, and it's not isolated to this Monday night game. It was a problem all last season and even the season before then, and it hasn't been fixed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to fix that when you are constantly rotating new players in at the position and bringing players from other teams. So I do give them a little bit of a leash, but that's a problem that I think needs addressing very quickly, because if Chad Henne can throw for 400 yards and look like Dan Marino, and this isn't the first time he's done that to this team down in Miami. We've made him look like Dan Marino on more than one occasion. That's going to be a problem going forward when we actually play pretty good quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers this week. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick is more than capable quarterback the following week against Buffalo. I'm a little concerned with that. Now, I'll give you the superlative, and I'll say I think the experiment at defensive line with rotating all the players and going with four down linemen is going to be superb. And I think that's only going to get exponentially better as the season goes on. I like that they're attacking the gaps. I like that they're using fresh bodies continuously, allowing guys like Albert Haynesworth to get the most out of himself. I really like that a lot. But I'm very concerned still about the pass defense and specifically the third and fourth downs.
Okay. I'll buy all of that. I think that's actually pretty good. As long as we're on it, you know, Nate Solder's position, you know, and the job that he did in basically, they showed a couple of replays of him taking Cameron Wake to the ground.
Pancaking him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm just like, I love this guy.
It was great.
That was enough for me right there. That stood out. I remember that immediately after the game with all the superlatives that happened in the game. And obviously, it'd be very easy to give it to Tom Brady. He was AFC Offensive Player of the Week as well.
Wouldn't have been able to do that, though.
But
he
might not
have.
That's exactly my point. Thank you. See, we're thinking like you. We're on the same brainwave.
We've been doing the show long enough.
I know, but it's okay. We got a good thing going here. Yeah. Chances are Brady might not have been able to do what he did without performances like Solder's. The other thing I loved about Brady's performance is that, you know, they're backed up after the, you know, they're in the fourth quarter after they stop the Dolphins inside the 1 yard line. They come out in a spread and he baited Mike Nolan into the call. Honest to God, he baited him into the call. He spreads it out. He wants to see what the defensive call is. And then Mike Nolan, you know, I mentioned to you before the show started today that it was kind of hard to see, the kid that got cut, defensive back
from
Miami. Hello.
Oh, Benny Sapp.
Thank you, Sapp. I was going to say Benny.
Blades?
What was I going to say? Blades.
Because he played
at Miami.
University.
Sapp, thank you. I didn't think Warren
Sapp.
Yeah,
Benny
Sapp. Benny
Sapp. Sapp also played at Miami.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But I'm just, you know, he got cut, obviously, yesterday. And so I'm thinking, it's not his fault.
Scapegoating?
It's Mike Nolan's fault for making the call to blitz. Brady wanted to see how they were going to come line up, so he spreads it out.
Yep.
And then he can make the adjustment at the line. I think most savvy football fans understand that. He makes the call at the line of scrimmage when you're in the no huddle. Mm-hmm. You have to. He shouts out a few key numbers and a couple of phrases that tells the guys what offensive formation to get into, what play is coming, bang, you run the play. That's what happens based on what the defense is lining up. Mm-hmm. He shouts out a couple of things. Dolphins don't move. They line up man-to-man. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots are ready to spread it. And he's like, oh, my God, this may be the chance of a lifetime. I'm getting the ball to Welker because he saw Sapp on Welker.
Yep.
And then Sapp obviously made a poor play, and then the rest is history, as we know, and he gets cut. Mike Nolan deserves the call for that. He deserves the you know, do you fire the coach? No. I've never liked that. I've never liked a player being made a scapegoat for
a
bad play.
Especially in week one?
Yeah, I mean,
now,
here's the stupid thing.
If this were week 10,
well, here's the
and
stupid
he kept
thing.
Doing that week after week.
This is the really stupid thing, and you want to know why Miami is in the shape they're in? And if there's any Dolphins fans listening, okay, please take this to the bank, all right? Miami is in the shape they're in because of stupid decisions like this. Not only is it a stupid decision by Mike Nolan to blitz on that particular instance, I understand why they did what they did, okay, because they wanted to try to pin the Patriots in, get some points maybe, force the Patriots into a mistake, get back into the game, whatever. I understand that. But you got to think these things through. Brady had already thrown for 400 yards when this play came up. You want to keep them pinned in. You don't want to – well, obviously he made you pay, didn't he? But then you cut a guy who's responsible for making a bad play. He's a vested veteran. You got to pay him for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Are you stupid? He was on the roster in week one. You owe Sapp money for the whole year. Now, he may have only been, I don't even know what he was making. But why would you cut a guy based on one stinking play? That makes and then if he's not, what have you.
Yeah.
Well, if you saw previous things, then why the hell was he on the roster in week one?
And it wasn't just that one play. He was beaten, I think, on Hernandez's touchdown.
But he also was responsible for the Audric interception. He tipped the ball in the air.
Good point.
So, you know, he may have had a bad play or two, but he's also responsible for stopping Tom Brady's 358 consecutive pass streak without an interception. And they cut him. Miami's quickly going right behind St. Louis. In terms
of
teams that just deserve to be on the crap list. Oh, my God, that's just stupid.
John, our friend Shalice Manzayoung from the Globe just tweeted out this picture. Great end zone shot of the 99-yard
touchdown. Of the 99-yard shot, yeah.
And you've got here.
Yeah, I see it.
You
yeah,
can
it's good.
See this is Nate Solder.
Yep.
Not blocking Cameron Wake.
No.
Blocking down and in.
Down and in.
Against what I'm assuming is maybe an inside back or
somebody's filling the gap there that we can't see with Brady's body.
Nobody's coming after Wake in the backfield because there was, I don't believe he had anybody in the backfield
no.
with him. I think he spread everybody out. Wake is, I mean, the ball's already half, you know.
Ball's in the air, on its way.
Wake is still a good yard away from Brady at that point. So it's already.
So it tells me then there might have been an initial point of attack here, and then he backed off to go inside.
Could have. Yeah, Solder, you mean.
Solder.
Yeah, could be. Could be, because the ball's already way out. And,
I'd love
and
to
Wake's
see the film on
yet.
That, yeah.
Right here, you can see Welker.
You can
little
see
spot
him right
there
yeah,
between
right there.
Matt Light and whoever this defender is. It's hard to see. But Welker's already got the step on Benny Sapp. And the ball
is in
the
air.
Trajectory. It's a great
it's
shot.
A great shot.
Very
Did
great
she
shot.
Shoot that from the end zone?
No, it wasn't her.
Oh, somebody else
she tweeted
that.
Out the pick
she tweeted
from
the pick.
Whoever took it.
Did you guys
it.
See the video of that 99-yard play, the field view that
no.
they had on replay?
Mm-mm.
The best is Benny Sapp's on the ground after getting stiff-armed. Sperano just stand there pointing at him like, this guy, he can't do anything.
And pointing at Sapp?
Pointing at Sapp while he's laying there on the ground.
Well, that's a little bit of scapegoating too, obviously. They You know what? There must have been something there before with him. Because, like you said, it seems a little odd that after one game, a couple of bad plays, they're going to get rid of a vested veteran. There had to be some history there, too, that they probably didn't want him. But you're right. They're on the hook for all that salary. And it's at the very least, it's the veteran minimum for a vested veteran, which is, I forget what it is with the new CBA, but it's up in the $800,000, close to a million range.
You got to pay him for the whole stinking year.
It's a lot.
I mean, that's just stupidity is what it is.
And he made your defensive play of the night for Miami. As you were saying,
he's responsible for the Audric interception.
How many times do the Patriots run that play and it goes for 25, 30 yards? He comes in there and breaks it up and then makes one bad play and gets cut.
It boggles the mind, Matt. It just boggles the mind.
Actually, you know what? I think that was one of our people who shot it because it was Real Patriots who first tweeted it.
Is that
and
right?
And Shalice retweeted it.
Okay.
So it might have been one of our guys.
Well, it's a good shot. Nevertheless, it's a good shot. So there you go. There's a couple of my nitpicks. That was one of my biggest nitpicks, and I was going to actually defend Benny Sapp a little bit, but, you know, even though he's a, you know, hey, he's available now. You might have to think about it. I don't know if you want to do that or not, but, you know, fact is, I thought the whole thing was just pure stupidity. Absolute pure stupidity on the part of the Dolphins and, you know, and good riddance. We'll see him again, you know, back here on, what is it, Christmas Eve?
Are they Christmas Eve or New Year's Day? I think they're Christmas Eve. They're New Year's Day? Yeah, it's them.
Dolphins are New Year's Day?
Buffalo is Christmas Eve. Dolphins are New Year's Day.
I'll double check it right now.
I thought it was
it's
the other
one
way.
Of the two.
Okay,
but,
whatever. Okay.
John, I thought overall, since this is the first opportunity we have to talk about it, I thought the game played out the way we said it would last week.
I agree.
Patriots would be in a tight battle for most of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They'd score. I predicted... 30-20.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit more offensive output than maybe we gave
a little
them credit
bit more.
For. But
yep.
I thought it would be close through three quarters and that they would pull away at the end, and that's exactly what happened.
It did. Played out exactly like we thought. I had my backdoor cover until the 99.5-yard touchdown.
But you'll take it because they're so rare.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, you know.
How often can you say you were there for a... Well, I mean, you weren't there for it.
I told you the last time I can consciously remember watching live a 99-yard score like that was Tony Dorsett's run on Monday Night Football, which was back in like 1983, I think it was. Because it happened against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Big Cowboy fan, as you know, grew up that way.
Yep.
And I was with, I was working in San Antonio at the time. And, with a bunch of guys that I work with in the Spurs organization where you know where I worked.
Mm-hmm.
And, I remember watching that and thinking that may be the single most amazing thing I have seen in my entire life. I mean, not only was it 99 yards, but it was a run from scrimmage, and it was really nothing spectacular. He just bolted up the middle. No, you know, he kind of got through after about 10 or 15 yards, and when he got to the 20-yard line, he was gone for the next 80.
Yeah.
Nobody even got close to touching him.
Yeah.
And really, that's kind of what Welker was like here. I think, by about the 40-yard line, maybe?
Yeah, as soon as he stiff-armed Sapp.
Mm-hmm.
He had about 60 yards.
60 yards to go.
With nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing in front of
him. It was very, very close. Very close. So, all right. So let's do this. Let's get a timeout in here and then we're going to come back and continue with your emails, your telephone calls, your other thoughts on a nitpick Wednesday, nitpick Tuesday on a Wednesday here in the playbook. Also, Josh Lewin from, San Diego Chargers Radio Network. He's going to join us in hour number two as we'll turn the page and look more toward the Chargers. But there's a lot of things that we can actually jump into. Yes, the Patriots are 1-0. Okay, that's the bottom line. But because we do like to sort of put things under the magnifying glass, let's see if we can come up with something a little bit more substantive than, you know, oh, what's wrong with Ocho, okay? And I do want to jump into Ocho about a couple of things, but let's cut the defense a little bit of slack. Now, next week you have every right to fire away if Phillip Rivers goes for, you know, three or four bills, and especially if the Chargers get a win. Let's wait and see, though. We'll get to more of that inside the playbook coming up.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Oh, yeah.
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Early on?
Yeah, start drinking early.
Nice and loud. Work 15 game, a lot of time to get lubed up. Come out here and cheer for their home team.
Yeah!
Wow. Where's Joe Namath? Where's Joe Willie Namath when you need him? Oh, my goodness. That was Tom Brady earlier today.
I could care less about the fans drinking.
It's because he drank it all already. Welcome back inside Patriots Playbook on a Nitpick Tuesday on a Wednesday here on Patriots.com Radio. John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino. Ah, good stuff. That's, of course, Tommy talking earlier today about the Patriots, the 4:15 kickoff with San Diego. Hour number two of the program, Josh Lewin, the voice of the Chargers, joined us here in the playbook. This comes from Daryl, by the way, sends this via Facebook. He says, John, giving up over 400 yards to Henny scares me a bit. I do expect better from our secondary, but I know that his hoodedness wouldn't unload his entire defensive playbook in order to roll Chad Henny. See, I think that's actually a pretty good point. The offense was stellar. Mr. Brady and crew are clearly at the top of their game. I didn't get to watch the game, but kept up via curse words. There's a
good
little shout-out
for little plug Freddie
Kirsch and his in-game blog, right? Yep. So was there anything I missed in the play of the secondary? Were they just caught out of position? Were they playing soft? As always, in the hoodie we trust, go Pats and F the J-E-T-S. He says, as an aside, thanks for your sagely advice and moderation. There are way too many doom and gloom fans out there who expect Phillip Rivers to roll us in Foxborough next week. Let's let the first 4 or 5 weeks start to set the trend for the season. After all, remember where we were in week 4 last year. All right. Good points, Daryl. Happen to agree with you on that one. What did you think of the play of the secondary overall? Eric, what did you see? I mean, I did think that because they were playing more man, and I think that's the byproduct of a lot of the 4-3 mentality. I mentioned this last week, and I think it's appropriate to bring it up here against here. When you play 4-3, you played football, you played the game, you know this a little bit. 4-3, you're more man-on-man, you're more, you know, attacking the guy ahead of you. Yep. You're less about covering an area as opposed to kicking the ass of the guy in front of you. That also goes also well in the secondary. One of the reasons, perhaps, one of the reasons that a guy like Brandon Merriweather isn't here any longer because he was more of a cover mentality. Didn't think he could do more attacking, which is what they want out of the members of the secondary. We saw that.
In the Big Bang Clock.
We saw that on Monday. I don't forget that. We saw that on Monday night. And the Patriots defensive backs got burned on a couple of occasions.
They did. I was, when the game opened, first play, Miami had the ball, went on that 7.5 yeah. or 8 minute, whatever it was.
It was a 7.5 minute drive to yeah. open the game.
First play, when we were doing our quick attendance of who was starting the game, which we always
do
like to do.
Yeah.
And we saw Rozai Dowling at right corner instead of Lee Bodden. I said to Fred, they're going to pick on him right away. Mm-hmm. And they did. They threw right to him. I think Henny may have looked to his right first, but then quickly turned to the left and fired the ball down. And it was sort of a highlight catch right against the sideline. I almost didn't think he caught it. But not surprised that they attacked him on the first play. But then they seemed to pick more on McCourty the rest of the night than on Dowling. I know Bodden came in and rotated for the most part. And he played a little slot, but he also played interchangeably with Dowling, but it was McCourty who was getting thrown too much the night, and I was thinking, man, this is your star guy
that you're really hinging
who
the
made
whole...
a bunch of big plays yeah. last year, and yeah. they felt more comfortable throwing to him than to Dowling, who's a rookie who's often injured.
That is correct.
That surprised me a little bit, and the fact that McCourty gave up some of those plays, and again, he was always in position. It's not like he was beaten by 5 or 10 yards and missing assignments. He was right there. Henny was just putting the ball in the right spots, and his receivers were making some great throws. I have to give them credit for that. They just weren't, they were there, but weren't finishing the play. And a lot of times last year, McCourty was able to finish the play, and he would come up with all those interceptions.
I think that's a great way to put it. They were there. They were in position. They did not finish. And that usually is a byproduct of someone who's not as experienced as they need to be in order to finish a play.
Or, like I said, the quarterback is just in such a zone that he's throwing it in
frankly,
the only place that the receiver
Chad
can
Henne
get it.
Did have a very good game. He's a different quarterback from last year. Kudos to Chad Henne. Last year, you know, obviously we joked about Chad Henne and his relative ineffectiveness.
He got booed by his own fans as early as a
month
ago. Booed
by his own fans, and he had a good game the other night. He had a good game at the expense of the Patriots secondary, but I think, like the Patriots secondary, I think you have to give Chad Henne a few weeks. Let's find out if his 400-plus that he threw for is more a byproduct of his improvement, or is it a byproduct, is it a fluke? And I think that's, you have to give this time. You can't make a definitive judgment on 1 week. And that really is where we have to go with this. All right. I know you were practicing a little bit earlier for those that may have tuned in a little bit later. Mm-hmm. You were at the, video viewing portion of practice, as we like to say, those at the time that they allow the media in. Mm-hmm. What was going on today?
Biggest news, Sebastian Vollmer, out since August 30th, was back on the field.
That's good news.
Bad news, obviously no Dan Copen. We weren't surprised about that.
And, of course, we've been led to believe and told, and there have been several sources that have said that he has a fracture in his ankle,
yep.
Which means 6 to 10 weeks is what we're being told.
That's the range we've been seeing. That seems to be the
That
consensus.
Could put him back as early as, say, Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Around that time frame.
Right. So, worst case would have been IR for him, but it doesn't look like that's...
They think he can come back.
It sounds like it anyway. And I mean,
right.
It's barely been 2 days since the injury happened. So there's still time in the week for that to change, but I'm getting the sense that he's going to be, available later on.
Okay.
But for the immediate future,
he's
Dan Connolly.
Yeah.
Right. Mike Wright, who we talked about a little bit in the rotation on the defensive line,
mm-hmm.
appeared to get, just from what we saw on the sideline, it looked like he had another head injury.
Good Lord.
And his helmet, we didn't see him with his helmet on the sideline for most of the game. So it looked like the training staff may have given him the new procedure for concussions, decided that's enough, take the helmet away so that he can't even try to sneak back out into the field.
You got to wonder now, though, if he's got another concussion, if that's not it for him.
It's very troubling. Very troubling. And as we... You know, I said on the last show, with concussions, there's diminishing returns.
Right.
The more you get them, the easier it is to get them.
To get them, that is correct.
And he's had quite a few of them the last couple of years. And the last absentee today was kind of a surprising one. Guy we just were talking about, Lee Bodden, who not only played in the rotational role throughout the Miami game, he spoke at length with us in the locker room today. No indication that he was...
He's still wearing something protective on his hand from the thumb?
Didn't look... No.
No?
No. Didn't appear that.
So it didn't like he was wearing anything.
But he wasn't out at the field. So,
Interesting.
Don't know what to make of that. We'll find out in about an hour when the injury report comes out. But that took me by surprise a little bit.
Copen injury and some of the shifting going on, the Patriots did, in case you had not heard, they signed offensive lineman Donald Thomas to the 53-man roster. They released Thomas Welch, who they just signed basically on Monday. They have also put Garrett Mills, tight end, and linebacker Jeff Tarpinian, the rookie free agent from Iowa. They have signed them to the practice squad. And Aaron Laverius, who is a free agent rookie linebacker, was released from the practice squad. So those were the roster moves that were officially announced today. Donald Thomas, by the way, is 6'4", 310, played last year with Detroit. But previous to that, 2 years with the Miami Dolphins.
And got a chance to talk to him very briefly.
A UConn guy, by the way.
UConn guy, New Haven.
New Haven.
Native
right.
Too, so he's a local kid. Got a chance to speak with him briefly today in the locker room, and I was a little surprised that he was talking about how he has to jump right into the playbook, and he said it's very similar.
Tell him he can come in anytime.
Well, that's right. Yeah, step into the playbook. We're here from 2 to 4. That the system here is very similar schematically and nomenclature-wise, mm-hmm. to what he had in Miami.
Nomenclature. That is today's word of the day.
That's what you call a $2 word right there.
Nomenclature. Okay.
That is high quality. That's high
My
quality
words are worth at least 100.
That's high quality verbiage right there. Okay.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Even though it's a noun. But that's okay. I digress. Go ahead.
That the systems in Miami and New England are so similar.
Okay.
Did you just tell yourself to shut up?
I did.
Okay. And that he spent last year with Detroit, as you said, and that was vastly different. So he had to forget everything he learned in Detroit and relearn, but it's a quicker process for him because of the similarities between here and Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that a division rival has such a relative closeness to what they do here.
Well,
so that's part of the explanation it's always so tough to play Miami, even when they're not very good.
Because
the defense is used to hearing what the offense is calling out, or at least the formations are similar looks. And
now when you got a guy like Brian Daboll who's running the show there offensively, makes it more so.
Even more
so. I mean, frankly, people expect the Patriots to drill the Dolphins. What are you thinking? I mean, 14 points is a pretty good spanking in the NFL nowadays. I realize that the Patriots gave up a lot of yards. But the Patriots were also, you know, they did what they had to do. I think they felt like they could put the track shoes on and basically run by Miami, and that's exactly what happened. So I'm sure the Patriots in the locker room down the hallway here, I'm sure they're feeling pretty good about themselves. Can they get better? Absolutely. But for week one, mission accomplished. Move on. Sure. Next!
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about San Diego right now.
Absolutely.
All about San Diego.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Yeah, we're going to we'll start doing that here in just a matter of moments. Steve says, John and Eric, via Facebook, he said, John and Eric, I have a nitpick. In the secondary, where were they? Henny was pressured from time to time, but managed to get a pass off, and our secondary botched the coverage. There were some great players that went above and beyond my expectations. Hernandez, Branch, Solder, the O-line after Copen fell, each played a key role in the game, did better than I expected them to. Ocho wasn't a factor, but we didn't need him either. And he said, then he goes on, he says, while we're cutting the defense some slack, I think McCourty should get some slack too. Yes, he was a Pro Bowler, but any fan of the Patriots should know that each year begins anew. He had a slow start last year, which included a few pass interference calls. I don't mind too much that he was beat a few times in the season opener, but if he keeps it up past week three, then there's something to be concerned about. You know, Steve, that's a great point. If we're going to say, you know, you got to give Ocho some time, I think you gotta give just about everybody some time here.
Of course.
I think that's actually a very, very good point.
Especially this season when there wasn't an off season. Everything is behind.
Right. My nitpicks about the offense, if I was forced to think of something, would be Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis not running as well as I would hope. It seemed Woodhead had a better game. Woodhead was in there because his pass catching ability was more conducive to being a safety valve for Tom Brady.
He also did run the ball quite a bit though.
Yes, he did.
They handed off to him, and he ran between the tackles. And
Ellis scored the first touchdown of the game
yeah.
for the Patriots.
I mean, Woodhead.
Oh, Woodhead.
Woodhead ran pretty well.
Yes, he ran, but Green Ellis got the touchdown.
Yes.
And let me also say this about you know, the Patriots. The one thing that I really liked about Monday night is that every time Miami came up with a drive, the Patriots found an answer. That is the mark of a tough mental team.
Absolutely.
I cannot stress this enough. That pleased me as a fan more than anything. As a member of the media, that impressed me perhaps more than anything other than, say, Nate Solder's performance individually on Monday night was the fact that they had an answer for every time Miami hit him in the mouth,
yep.
The Patriots took a swipe right back and connected.
Right, especially after that first drive, which sapped the life out of
it. Yeah, it was 7.5 minutes.
Could have sapped the life out of it.
Yeah, could have. 7.5 minute drive, half the first quarter's gone, now you're starting to feel a little bit of pressure. Oh God, we gotta get on the board quick, we're on the road, we're already down, yada yada. And they just methodically schooled Miami.
There was at one point after the first quarter ended that I wasn't sure Tom Brady was going to have an incompletion on the night. He looked as sharp as I have seen him, and a lot of his incompletions weren't his fault. The interception wasn't his fault, really. Can't blame him for that, with great play by Sapp, as we talked about earlier.
Right.
And some of the incompletions were some of the throws were a little low, a little behind guys, whatever. He had to throw it away with the pressure or whatnot. But I thought he was as on fire as I've seen him in a long time. And I wasn't worried that they were going to be able to come back after getting down early to Miami. He was in a zone on Monday night.
Agreed. Tim says via Facebook, nitpicks outside of the Pats, 3 overturned calls on touchdown plays, 2 of which were pretty obvious. The glancing touch on the Hernandez crawl, I'll forgive. Sap the scapegoat. Was he worse through the game than Carroll, who was being picked on and at one point stood there with his arms out showing Tommy was clueless? How about the 4th and goal fade route call that turned the ball over on downs, resulting in the Welker touchdown in the very next play? Pats, Ocho man, I've been defending him and giving him time, but come on, covering a tight end and not lining up properly has nothing to do with not knowing the offense. That took away a big play. I think you can probably, you know, and I'm sure he's probably been hammered by this by his own teammates, if not his coaching staff, but that's the one thing I think you can blame Ocho for, was the, you know, the whole lining up in the wrong spot thing. But other than that, I mean, the ball was only targeted his way 3 times.
Are you talking about his penalty?
Yes, the penalty.
All right, I tweeted this out during the game because, to his credit, When the play started, he was the only eligible receiver on that side of the field. Gronkowski was on the other side and then came in motion and covered up the tackle. Okay. Now, at that point, Ocho was supposed to step back, obviously.
And he didn't do it.
Hence the penalty.
Hence
because
the penalty because you had an illegal
formation.
He was
covering up an eligible receiver.
Correct.
So to start off with, he was in the right position. He just didn't make the adjustment afterwards. Again, it's one of those things where he's, I mean, as a veteran, just football player, regardless of what the play call was supposed to be, if you look and see another eligible receiver next to you and you realize you're covering him up, you're the last line of defense, you're supposed to automatically do that. You're supposed to automatically read that. But maybe he was thinking too much about what his role was supposed to be and he wasn't really focusing on the most obvious
thing.
Yeah,
for a guy who's an 11-year vet, you got to wonder how he would not have known that.
Yeah. So I think he's just, there's still a lot bouncing around in his head, and I think he was more concerned about what his responsibilities were once the snap of the ball happened than pre-snap.
All right. Along those same lines, though, E, what are your thoughts on Teddy Bruschi's comments about Ocho, you know, tweeting, you know, the awe, the wow factor there, and Teddy's basically saying, hey, stop with the awe factor and get your head in the playbook and go see. You know, personally, I think it's much ado about nothing.
And I also think it's unfair because I don't know how many times. And I'm sure Teddy himself has been guilty of this in the past.
Sure.
When after a huge game by the offense, one of the common questions that reporters like to ask after the game is to defenders on this team, what was your reaction to Tom Brady's big night? And I don't know how many times I've heard a defender on this team say, yeah, it's great to just stand there on the sidelines and watch him. It's like being a fan. Don't be hypocritical and blame Ocho Cinco for doing that. Defenders do it all the time, and the media sort of force feeds them and sort of leads the witness in that way. But that's poor to me to have to go after to Ocho for something like that. I know I read the tweet, saw the context that it was in. Ocho was merely just saying, you know, I've seen this guy from afar, I've played against him, but now to be actually in the system and to see what he did, that he was just appreciating what Brady did as an individual that night.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with whether or not he's focused on the playbook or not. So I take issue with what Teddy did and said.
Yeah, I have to tell you that I think it was Teddy's way because I think Teddy, you know, and I think we all love him, and you know, and he's actually becoming a pretty good analyst. He's developing, but
Oh, stop reading things off the internet and laughing, John. Try to focus.
No,
John, focus.
I gotta focus. I gotta focus.
Focus on this playbook.
Focus on this playbook right here. Okay, I'll focus on this playbook. But in all honesty, I think Teddy sometimes feels like he's still in the locker room and still on the team.
Could be.
I think it very well is his way of sending a little bit of a message and just saying, hey, look, you know, that's not the Patriot way of doing things. So just, you know, make sure your head's still in the playbook.
Hey, look, that's not his job anymore.
Well, I was just, that's the next thing. That's the next thing.
Yes, his job is not to analyze and critique, but his job is not to motivate the players.
Yeah, he doesn't need to motivate the players. Let the players handle
it
themselves.
He's not a captain.
Yeah.
It's not his job.
No, I technically agree with you on that one. That's why I think it's really much ado about nothing.
Yeah.
You know, Ocho really didn't do anything that you and I really wouldn't have done had we been in a similar position.
There was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong with what Ocho did.
See, Ocho's getting hammered for not tweeting as much and not being himself, his quote-unquote himself, and now he's getting hammered for when he does do something.
I'm just going to
close. He can't win.
I have to run, but I'm going to close it out with this. I think people are taking too many cheap shots at Ocho because it's an easy target right now. He's an easy target. For lack of a better analogy, he's a horse that's down and people are enjoying kicking him.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't appreciate that. If I were him, I certainly wouldn't appreciate it because it's really unfair. Guy's an 11 years. He has been consistently productive, even in years when he had no reason to be, even in years when he really wasn't focused because he didn't like his situation, years when he had terrible quarterbacks. This guy's been productive. He's coming to a brand new system, learning a whole new offense in the span of a month and a half. He needs to have some slack cut his way. Taking cheap shots at this guy for only because it's the easy thing to do.
All right, then I will back that up with this final question to you.
Sure.
We did talk a little about this last week, but how much more slack do you cut him?
I give him, that's a great question. In a normal year, and we've asked Tom Brady this in the past, especially in like 07 when he had an entirely new receiving corps from the year before. The questions that he has been asked several times are, in a normal year, how quickly do you and your receivers need to get on the same page? And he has often said, by the middle of the regular season, 8 games in. This is in a normal normal year
with OTAs,
with
training,
full off-season,
with
training
off-season
camp,
practice, yeah.
With all of that, by week 8 is when you start to feel comfortable with your receivers and your offense. They've had 6 weeks. So put that in a normal off-season. You're in the middle of May. Give me a break. Leave Ocho alone. He's going to be fine. By the end of the year, I I say he's going to have more than 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
So says Eric Scalavino. All right, go right, kid.
All right, man.
All right.
Talk to you tomorrow.
We'll take a break. Hour number two. We're already actually in it, but we'll pause here, and then we'll come back. Get into the San Diego Chargers coming up in the playbook.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths were driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !!! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
And the email address, webradio@patriots.com. That's where you get us. Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. Submit the friend request if you have not done so already. You can post your questions. You can do Facebook chat. It's a great way to go, an easy way to go. You can also follow me on Twitter, at JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. That's the Twitter address. And I try not to kill you with tweets, honestly. I try to tweet maybe once a day, maybe. Frankly, I like what I have to say. I like it to have meaning rather than tweet every 10 minutes with, you know, some inane thing about a signing or a pickup or what have you. I like for it to have some substance. And sometimes it's not necessarily about the NFL. It might have something to do with some of the other things that I cover. As many of you know, that I'm a college football play-by-play announcer as well. So I've got my first game, in fact, this week. I've got the Iowa State at UConn game on Friday night. So I do a lot of college football, primarily in the Big East, but also some ACC football. And then, of course, as I know many of you are aware, I'm a longtime college basketball broadcaster as well. And on occasion, I have some news to pass along on those fronts as well. But that's kind of where we're going here in terms of getting in touch with the show. We've still got nitpicks to get to from Monday night. Yeah, I know. Strange as it sounds, there's still some nitpicks to get to. But we do want to turn the page a little bit because it is Wednesday. And, of course, Sunday, 4:15 kickoff here Eastern time against the San Diego Chargers. And, of course, the Patriots in San Diego played a whale of a game. Qualcomm a year ago. Patriots very lucky to get out of Dodge with a 23-20 win in spite of four first-half San Diego turnovers in that game. And Patriots were able to get out of there by the skin of their teeth. Josh Lewin is the play-by-play voice of the San Diego Chargers. Do I punch him in, Kev? That'd be the easiest thing to do? How about that? I can do that. Josh, nice to talk to you again, my friend. How are you?
You're the best. We're doing great. Happy to be coming out and playing you guys week two instead of like week 15 when it's going to be cold.
You'd be thankful for small favors, right?
Yeah, really.
So, I have to admit that, I'm sure, watched at least a little bit of the game on Monday night. What were your thoughts about Tom Brady's performance?
Well, I thought it was spectacular, and, you know, the Chargers pridefully had a very decent pass defense last year. I think that number one rating's a little bit cattywampus. It doesn't quite tell the whole story because the defense was hardly ever on the field. You know, there would be one special teams blunder after another, and out comes Phillip Rivers again. You know, so, I mean, it's... But I thought, legitimately, they really did a great job against the Vikings in that week one win that the Chargers had. McNabb threw for basically about 500 less yards than Brady did. You know, he threw for 39 yards. And, there goes Brady for 522, and there were 517. And I think somewhere in the middle is probably about right. I mean, Brady will be somewhere between 39 and 517. And, but the one thing I will say is that, you know, looking at Chad Henne putting up 400, I'll take Phillip Rivers over Chad Henne. So, you know, I'm sure that's got the Patriots' attention for sure, that if any can go for 400, whatever he did, you better be real careful about what Phillip Rivers can do.
I would certainly, I'd certainly agree with that one. Couple of signings today for the Chargers after a couple of huge injuries in the win Sunday over Minnesota. Nick Novak, the new field goal kicker.
Yeah, and he's a local guy, you know, was living in San Diego and doesn't have really a lot of NFL success at all, but he's... I guess learned from that and studied at the feet, so to speak, of some of the greats here. And, when he went to that United Football League, he was kicking the heck out of the ball. But, it's a tough one. I mean, Nate Kading very under the radar, but heck, he is the all-time most accurate field goal kicker in the history of the sport, which counts for something. And, not a guy that was going to boom it out of the back of the end zone, even with the 35 instead of the 30 now, but he's a huge loss. And, if there's a bunch of games this year that come down to a field goal, you would rather have had Nate Kading, but as they say, next man up.
Interesting that you had a guy like Novak signed, whereas a guy like Shane Graham, who came in last year and filled in quite admirably, we all thought for Stephen Gostkowski, he worked out for you guys, but he was not signed.
Yeah, when A.J. Smith decides he wants somebody, that's who he goes and grabs. And, Shane Graham's got the NFL skins on the wall, no doubt. I think what A.J. Smith, the Chargers GM, and a good New England guy would tell you is that, it's about what are you doing right now?
Yeah.
What's the snapshot right now? You know, Shane Graham's 100-point seasons with the Bengals are not current. You know, it's not what he's doing right now. And he likes the way Novak is swinging through the ball better than Graham, and, we got to trust that.
The other injury is, I guess, kind of similar to what happened to one of the Patriots players, Luis Castillo. Even though he's a defensive end, he had a fracture in his leg also on Sunday, but he wasn't put on IR, so that tells me, and probably tells the rest of you, that the Chargers have hopes he can come back before the year is over.
Yeah, he hasn't stayed fully healthy yet, since coming out of Northwestern, and it's a shame. He's a good run-stuffing defensive end, but... hopefully see him week 10 or 11, or at least week 12 or 13. But they signed OG Nwabo, who they had just released, And it's funny because, you know, a lot of the guys were saying, hey, you know, the way this game works, don't go to sleep, you know, don't get your dobber down because, they, you know, maybe you'll be on the plane in New England. And sure enough, he's going to be on the plane in New England.
OG Nuovo, thanks for that. I had no clue where to go with that one, so.
Yeah.
Jim D. Nuovo. All right, I like that. Well, obviously, I bring up Castillo because the Patriots had the same thing happen somewhat similarly to Dan Copen, their starting center, and Dan Connolly filled in admirably. So you've got a couple of replacements now. What were your thoughts overall for a week one for the Chargers? Is it a win is a win type of philosophy, or where are you guys kind of looking at nitpicking and trying to get this team better?
Well, yeah, I mean, they were really fortunate to win that game, and they were 9 or 10 point favorites at home, and that's a Minnesota team that most people have picked to go 6-10, and it's not even like Peterson went crazy on him. He went for 98 after predicting he'd go for 200, which is not a wild prediction because last time the Chargers faced Peterson, he went for 296. So, they, you know, they did a pretty good job with Peterson. What they didn't really account for in that first half is that Minnesota would be so blitz-happy. And, you know, Phillip Rivers could not get a wide receiver involved in that game to save his life. He completed 33 passes, but 26 of them were to tight ends and running backs. It just became dink and dunk theater. And, you know, what Phillip and Norv Turner, I think, recognized correctly at halftime is that, okay, if this is what we're dealing with, you know, out goes the game plan, and we got to just do little swing passes to Mike Tolbert and keep finding Antonio Gates. And, you know, if you have Vincent Jackson or Malcolm Floyd on your fantasy team, that's a big hang with them because they're just, you know, we're not going to have time to get the ball to them. So, you know, it was a sound strategy, but once the Chargers figured it out, they went up and down the field just in a different way. And that's what's so great about Norv and Phillip is, you know, it might take him a quarter or two to figure out exactly what's happening out there, but boy, the adjustments they make at halftime are incredible.
Yeah, and I think that's what made Turner such a great offensive coordinator, and as I know you know, during his time, especially with Dallas and all the great teams they had, was his ability to adjust on the fly, and maybe he's, you know, and I know Patriots fans won't want to hear this, maybe he's finally getting the hang of things. Does Turner get undue criticism, or is it just, in your opinion, thus far?
I think it's a little bit unfair. I mean, you know, anything from his body of work before he got to San Diego is tough to judge him on. You know, he worked for two insane bosses. He worked for Al Davis and Dan Snyder, you know, for the Raiders and the Redskins, and didn't exactly have the weaponry that he's got with the Chargers now. I think this is a much fairer, you know, the one fair criticism is what's with the slow starts. I mean, they were almost out 0-1 again. You know, they got out 2-5 after losing to you guys last year in a game where, like you said, they turned the ball over with, you know, willy-nilly. And, you know, they were still in position to win a game, but the kicker they signed off the street, Chris Brown, hit the post with a field goal as time expired, you know. So the slow starts are definitely a fair criticism that does fall on Norv, but you're right. I mean, the adjustments that he's able to make and the game plans that he's able to come up with, Chargers outscored their opponents something like 110-30 in the third quarter last year. And sure enough, you know, in that Minnesota game, they came out, it was a 17-0 second half for San Diego over Minnesota after being down 17-7 after two quarters.
Right. Josh Lewin, voice of the San Diego Chargers, joining us here in the playbook. Josh, are you of the opinion that there is any carryover from one year to the next when teams play in consecutive seasons, or is that really, does it really matter much in the overall scheme of things? And I ask because of the way the Patriots did win last year in San Diego, are there enough guys in the San Diego locker room that remember that and use that in any form or fashion for this week?
I think that one, but maybe more than that, you know, it's going to be the first time coming back to play you guys since the 21-12 game that got you guys onto the Super Bowl against
right.
the Giants.
Right.
And, you know, that's the one. You talk about leaving, you know, points on the field and not sticking them on the scoreboard. I mean, of all people, Junior Seau to make that open field tackle of, I think it was Michael Turner back then, to prevent a touchdown. And, you know, that game, the Chargers had more scores than the Patriots did. It was 4-3, but the Chargers had to kick 4 field goals because they sucked inside the 10-yard line. And the Patriots, you know, their 3 scores were all touchdowns to make it a 21-12 final. And, you know, the Patriots kept the ball the last 10 minutes of that game. They just went, you know, down the field methodically and just chewed up the clock. And it was painful. It was really painful to watch. So, you know, there's enough guys on the team to remember that. And as you say, they'll also remember, you know, just kind of letting one get away a little bit last year at home. And, you know, if you want to go back before that, obviously, Marty Schottenheimer's last act was, you know, the Chargers is the one seed losing to the to the Patriots who came in there and, you know, did all kinds of crazy things to win five, 6 years ago. So whether or not it carries over, I don't know, but there are certainly some memory tricks you can play if you want to.
One of the things I like to do from week to week is ask those who know better, and that is, of course, guys who cover the teams that the Patriots are playing every week, cover them on a day-in and day-out basis, to give us somebody who maybe we don't know enough about, who's starting to kind of light things up a little bit in your end of the woods. How about a Charger right now that's surprising or someone that we can watch out for this Sunday?
Yeah, no, it's a good one. I mean, he's been around forever, but boy, Takiyo Spikes has been a hell of an addition. You know, I mean, he slides right in on the inside, and there's a kid named Donald Butler that plays with him, linebacker out of the University of Washington, who's in his first year, was hurt all last year, didn't play because of an Achilles, so this is technically his rookie year. He wears Merriman's old number, 56, and, you know, doesn't exactly play, you know, that demonstratively or anything, but he's solid and he's learning from Spikes. And, you know, linebackers always have to be real solid against New England. So I would watch Spikes and Butler in the middle.
Thank you very much for the time, my friend. I appreciate it. Safe travels this way, East Coast.
Thank you, man. Oh, we, like I say, appreciate the nice weather and the New England hospitality, and it should be a heck of a game.
You got it, buddy. Thanks.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Josh Lewin, again, is the voice of the San Diego Chargers, joining us here in the Patriots Playbook, just to kind of give us a little bit of a snapshot view of what to expect. I think you, primarily, if you're a savvy Patriots fan, love that word, by the way, just it's a great adjective, right? Says you know something. You probably know what the Chargers are going to bring to the table on Sunday. They're going to bring a high-powered offense. They're going to bring one of the better quarterbacks. Certainly, it'd have to put Phillip Rivers, I think, in the top. Right now, you can't really throw Peyton Manning in there because he's hurt. I think you'd have to put Phillip Rivers in there probably in the top five or six, right, in the NFL in terms of quarterbacking ability. I think I would. Might be a good topic for tomorrow. Might be a good question for tomorrow. Or it could be a good question for now if you prefer. But, you know, I just, to me, you know what you're going to get with him. He's going to be able to bring it. He's got solid receivers. He has one of the best tight ends to play in football in Gates. He's got an emerging young running back in Ryan Matthews. There is no Darren Sproles anymore. I think that was a mistake that San Diego made because I think he's a great fit in New Orleans now. But, okay, Matthews, though, I think is going to be, if he's not already a good player, got that Fresno State toughness thing going. I think the Patriots know a little bit about that. Defensively, they're opportunistic. They do fly to the ball. Interesting to note that Josh just mentioned Takiyo Spikes, who the Patriots are certainly familiar with from his time within the AFC East in Buffalo, that he's beginning to make a difference for the Chargers. Somebody to watch. All right, there's a bit of a snapshot. We'll continue breaking this down not only today but certainly on the program tomorrow in anticipation of Sunday's kickoff. But in the meantime, webradio@patriots.com, the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline, as you know, 508-298-0398. You can join us on the program. Hit me up on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. We'll continue with the nitpicks. We'll also continue looking at the San Diego Chargers. John sends this email. He says, I've been listening to all this drama surrounding Chad Johnson. Yes, I will only call him Johnson. There has been a lot of space. His legal name is Ocho Cinco. Whether you like it or not, he legally did that, all right? Okay. Been a lot of speculation about him not getting in the system or the playbook. I'm suspicious of these accusations, and here's why. Twice during the game, Brady throws a bomb to Welker deep. Now, I love Wes Welker, but you're expecting a lot from a 5'7 receiver going against a much taller veteran cornerback, as we saw in both passes. At first, I thought if Welker was a few inches taller, but then I thought, well, why didn't Johnson run that play? Both could have been... He could have possibly had both receptions, even if he doesn't know the playbook or the system. Both of these long passes were just go-long passes. Certainly Johnson understands that. What's going on? Eric Scalavino mentioned it in the last hour, John. I'm going to mention it again here. There has to be a period of time in terms of developing the comfort factor. When the Patriots were playing the pressure offense, and I think that's an appropriate phrase here that we'll probably continue to use, not only here inside the playbook, but you know, elsewhere. Patriots were running pressure offense on Miami on Monday night, constantly keeping the Dolphins back on their heels defensively, not allowing the Dolphins to make any kind of substitutions, just gassing them. It was pedal to the metal. Whatever you want to call it, that's what they were doing. In this instance, you must have the utmost confidence and reliability in receivers to know where they're going to be at any given time. Otherwise, the pressure offense doesn't work. He's had Welker in the system for 5 years. He obviously has known Dion Branch for almost as long as he's been a pro himself. Who do you think is going to get the nod at receiver? That's not to denigrate or downgrade the ability of Chad Ochocinco. It is merely saying, this is our game plan for this week. This is how we can best be successful. This is not about the ego of an individual player or the fans' whims on the field. It is about production. It is about results. That's all this is. Don't read any more into it other than that. This has nothing to do with Chad Ochocinco not getting it. It has everything to do with Patriots running a pressure offense, timing routes, familiarity. Not only does he have the benefit of, you know, this season, he's got a several-year relationship with those two guys. Now, I said that to somebody earlier today, and they said, well, what about Aaron Hernandez? What about Rob Gronkowski? They've only been around since last year. Yes, that's a good point. 13 catches by the tight ends on Monday night. That's extraordinary, especially when you consider a couple of years ago, Patriots in the tight end, Of course, a couple of years ago, they didn't have a receiver at tight end either. I mean, God love Benjamin Watson, Stonehands might be his middle name. So, why then are Gronkowski and Hernandez getting the attention? Because they are matchup problems for an opposing defense. Gronk is the traditional tight end. Hernandez is the non-traditional tight end who's really more like a wideout. And in matchup situations, he's extraordinarily difficult for an opposing team to cover with just a defensive back. And he's probably too quick for a linebacker. And so he gets single coverage, he gets the ball. When the attention is being spread to the other Patriots receivers, that puts Gronk in single coverage, and he can just about outfight anybody for the ball. And those guys between them, 13 grabs on Monday night. All I'm saying is that there's a reason behind most everything. Now, if we get 3-4 weeks into this season and Ocho's still struggling with a catch, or he's only being targeted 2 or 3 times or what have you, all right, then we might begin to start questioning things. But Eric told us in the opening hour of the program today, guys, you really have to cut him some slack. And I kind of concur. I don't know that I go to midseason, but I think you got to understand.
Bill!
Tom Brady has said before, usually you know what you're going to get with somebody by the time you've gotten into about the midway part of the season. And that's when you have a normal off season. And of course, we all know this has been anything but a normal off season. Chad has had 6-7 weeks now to learn the playbook, to learn Tom Brady, and to be up to speed with everybody else on this team that Brady has confidence in, who, by the way, have all been here at least a year. Yes, I know Chad is an 11-year veteran, but he hadn't been in the system for 11 years. Not only is it a timing factor, it's also a confidence factor. And if the game plan calls for putting pressure offensively on the opposing defense, it might be a while before you see the guy out there. It just might be. And it has nothing to do with his ability to not get the playbook. I know we're going to nitpick on this from now until kingdom come, and it's going to be like picking on a scab that just won't heal. Everybody's going to bitch and complain and moan about Chad Ochocinco. Get off it. There's no need to. That includes Teddy Bruschi. God love Teddy Bruschi. He's going to go down as one of the greatest Patriots of all time.
This thing is a whopping 16 inches.
These things
really are huge.
That's the size of the scab we're all going to have by pitching, you know, picking on this Ocho sore. Okay? So all due respect to Teddy. Okay? You know what? Dude, you're not in the locker room anymore. Okay? So let's cut him a little bit of slack. Give the guy a little space. Let him do his job. Let him assimilate. Give him the chance that you give everybody else when they come to New England. You're willing to cut Albert Haynesworth some slack? Why can't you cut Chad Ochocinco some slack? Don't you think he's deserved it at least as much, if not more so, than a guy like Albert Haynesworth? Come on, people. All right, this one comes from Gene in Daytona. John, Eric, Kevin, my nitpick is Ocho Cinco. He needs to get down in the dirt with the rest of the blue-collar players and do his job. If he can't do that, he needs to move on either by trade or negotiate a settlement with him and give the kids a chance.
Everybody just do your job!
I've seen a hunger out of Matthew Slater and Taylor Price. Okay, Gene, but Matthew Slater and Taylor Price don't have the physical ability.
Taylor Price hasn't even played a game yet.
Yeah, they don't.
One that matters.
Yeah, and they don't have the physical ability that Chad Ochocinco has. All right, guys, just okay. Let's lay off a Chad. All right, yeah, okay. You don't have to. All right. You know what? That's what this program's for. You can lay into whoever you want to. That's why we nitpick.
You know what Chad's going to say? He's going to say this.
Don't talk to me. All right, knock it off.
No. That's not what he's going to say.
You mean he's not Ryan Leaf?
He's not okay. Ryan Leaf.
Sorry, I got confused.
I know. No, he's not Ryan Leaf. He's far from it. All right. This is Sterling says, shout out to Patriots Playbook. Welcome back. Thank you, Sterling. Can you spend a little time talking about the defense and focus on the play of Gerard Mayonnaise and Devin McKechup? They look slow and horrible
Kraft
in coverage.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
Horrible in coverage and pursuit. Well, okay, we did a little bit in the opening hour, Sterling, but, you know, honestly, we didn't talk a whole lot about Mayo. And I would agree with you. Mayo seemed a little bit, I don't want to say a half step slow, but let's just say he wasn't swarming to the ball like he normally does. He was a little bit more reactionary. And maybe that's, frankly, getting a little bit used to the defense that's playing in front of him. You know, he's an inside backer in a 3-4 set last year. Now he's the sole inside backer on largely what was a 4-3 unit out there. And, yeah, it's going to take a little bit of getting used to. I'm cutting the whole defense a slack, okay, for Monday night. I am. I'm cutting them all slack. Why? Because what they did on Monday night is not what we've seen them do a lot of, a little bit of, because the Patriots like to pride themselves in their versatility on defense and running multiple sets, multiple formations, multiple defenses. That they went with a primary defense on Monday. It's what we saw throughout most of the preseason. Guys are still getting their mojo on, for lack of a better phrase. I'm going to cut Mayo a little bit of slack. The guy that I nitpicked in the opening hour, and I'll repeat it here, was on McCourty. In man coverage, McCourty got beat early. Now, he rallied later in the game. You did notice this, right? He did play much better later in the game. Maybe that had something to do with the fact that, I don't know, the Dolphins were more gassed, but I would tell you that McCourty started out a little slow last year, and we had an emailer bring this up in the opening hour of the program, and he's dead spot on. Started out slow last year, rallied to the point where he had 7 picks, and he made the Pro Bowl.
The play that stood out to me that he made, John, was the one on Brandon Marshall in the end zone that almost turned into a pick that Chung sort of knocked out of his hands. Mm-hmm. He jumped the route. It was a little in cut. He got body position, almost boxed him out like a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Forced the ball to be popped up into the air, and then looked like he had the pick, and Chung kind of like stuck his hands in there and got in his way, and the ball fell to the ground. But I thought positionally that was the best play he made all night.
I thought it and it came later in the game, as you pointed out, Kev. So, quite frankly, I believe that, you know, he's going to be fine too. So I will nitpick, but I will not blame. I will not hammer on it simply because it was week one. And again, without a traditional offseason, going to cut him a little more slack. Ochocinco, Haynesworth, McCourty, Mayo, everyone, I'm going to cut him a little more slack early. May cut him less slack if San Diego slices and dices this Sunday. But let's wait until we find out, and then we'll bring it up next week, shall we? Lucas, John, hope all is well. Last week I predicted to you that the Pats would score 30-plus. Brady would record a minimum 4 touchdowns. Welker would reach 100 receiving yards and a touchdown. Hernandez, minimum 50 and 1. Defense would pile up a couple of sacks, but you answered me on live that my prediction was crazed and absurd. I was right. Did I say you were crazed and absurd? Really? I just think it was out of character. I mean, you know, sometimes, Lucas, it's really hard when you look at an email not to, you know, find out if someone is just a, you know, harebrained fan going off, you know, on the deep end and being, yeah, being a Yahoo. Or if somebody is really trying to do a good bit of, you know, analysis and observation. So guess what, Lucas? I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. How's that? Just like I'm giving the Patriots the benefit of the doubt. Good call in week one for you, buddy. He says, believe me, Brady will throw between 45 to 50 touchdowns this season. So do you now consider as a clever amateur analyst? You're one for one. But, dude, you know as well as anybody, okay? What have you done for me lately? Okay? What have you done for me lately? Let's see what you do for next week. Wow, here's our boy Derek from the University of Arizona. What's up, D?
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
It's going really well.
Give your blog a shout-out.
Hi, everybody. My name's Derek Havens from PatsFans.com.
Okay, good.
And, yeah, there you go.
All right.
How you doing, man? Long time no talk.
Yeah. How was your summer? You all right?
Yeah, summer's going well. Down here at the University of Arizona right now. So, school's going well. And,
that's good.
Still grinding, so.
Obviously. What were your thoughts then on Monday?
We're doing nitpicks today, right? I just joined the show a little late, so.
That's right. It's Nitpick Tuesday on a Wednesday.
Well, anyway, I don't want to sound harsh. My biggest nitpick is with fans, actually.
Okay.
I don't know, if I'm repeating myself from something that you said or, you know, earlier in the show, just cut me off. But, you know, on my Twitter timeline during the game, the very first drive the Patriots made, the Dolphins made, excuse me, you know, people were jumping off the bandwagon early. Like, the defense would just throw them under the bus. Oh, I'll bring the 3-4 back. What's this new defensive look? You know, the whole game they've been so critical. You know, and I think, you know, like you brought up with, Chad Ochocinco and just the defense in general, it's like, you know, give these guys a little more time to get integrated with the new scheme, you know, all the new acquisitions they made. Like I mentioned on your first show or one of your first shows back, you know, 16 new players, you know, and actually I don't think that number's gone up, but it's around that number right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, 16 new players.
A lot of roster turnover.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, come on, give these guys a couple weeks to go ahead and get, like, integrated into the new offense and defense.
Right. Well, you know as well as anybody, Derek, that, you know, Patriots fans, any fan really, probably with any team, they want perfection and they want it now, or they have expectations and they want those expectations met now. That's what fans do. However, that's our job, is to sit here and to try to talk people out of the trees or talk them off of the cliffs or talk them down from their, you know, euphoria, you know, and try to put a little bit of reason, a little bit of actual football analysis into the equation. Fact remains is that it was week one. It was great for the offense. The defense is going to be a work in progress. And, you know, I think if we get to week 7 or 8, along the lines of kind of what happened last year, and this team is still giving up chunks of yardage, like we saw them do, then you might have a concern. But I think one of the things that we sort of need to look at between the lines from Monday's game is the fact that they only allowed Miami, 2 of 14 on third down conversions?
I was just going to bring that up.
I just think that that's extraordinary. And I think that's a sign that this defense can shut it down when they need to. Don't you?
I completely agree. You know, I mentioned, right after the game, how well they performed in, you know, on third down and in red zone situations. I thought, you know, if they looked a little bit more bend but don't break, you know, the Dolphins did move the ball on them, especially that first drive. You know, the Patriots didn't look like they were ready for what Brian Daboll and, you know, the Miami Dolphins were able to do to them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the same time, I thought the Dolphins had, I think, were the Dolphins have more time of possession than the Patriots? Do you know about that?
I don't have the book in front of me. I actually think they did, but I don't have the book. I don't have the playbook in front of me. I'm in the playbook and I don't have it in front of me. So
it's fine. No, I'm pretty sure the Dolphins actually led time of possession.
Yeah, I think they did.
And the Patriots' longest offensive drive was 4 minutes and 6 seconds. Their longest drive.
Right.
Now, when you move the ball that fast, and by the way, they did it amazing here with their no-huddle offense. We move the ball that fast, you know, you're going to give up yards. Now, I'm not going to give the defense complete slack, but I do give them some slack in the fact that, you know, when the other team has the ball for the majority of the game and the offense is moving up the field so quickly, you know, the defense is going to give up yards, but I think they definitely showed up on two areas that they were really weak last year, on third downs and in the red zone, and I was really pleased by that.
Okay. I actually will go along with that 100%. I totally think that's. I think you're dead on.
All right. Well,
you're not going to get. You're not getting a fight out of me, Derek. As much as I'd love to, you're not going to get a fight out of me on that one.
I know. We need to disagree more.
Well, I think it's because, you know, you do a concerted job, follow the team from the distance that you follow. You know, you write some good stuff for, you know, PatsFans.com. So for those that want to go on and look at it, please, by all means, I would highly recommend it. Young man has some very good insight. You know, we need to find something though that you're right. We need to pick a topic and debate it, I think, on a show sometime, you know? I know you want to be a talk show host someday, so maybe we need to, like, you know, on this program, I'll give you a topic. I'll send you a note and I'll say, all right, you take this side, I'll take this side, and let's debate it on the show.
We should do that when I come and visit in December.
Okay.
If that offer is still open.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's absolutely. To you, big man? Absolutely. Let's do that. Let's do that in December. All right?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
That sounds like
a plan. If I can say one more quick thing, because
yeah.
I know you want to get going with the show.
No problem.
I do slightly disagree with you on McCourty a little bit.
Okay. Why?
I didn't hear everything like you said in the beginning of the show because I was gone. But from what you just said a second ago, the one thing I'll say about McCourty is, you know, just by the defense sticking him on Marshall, and just, you know, I think that was really crucial to the defense's, like, game plan, having him on Marshall, you know, the whole time. And I really like the way, you know, Marshall's obviously a big physical receiver, you know, and I thought McCord did a great job a lot of the time. Now, he did get beat. You know, he did get beat pretty badly sometimes. But, you know, I liked how he had positioned himself to try to break up that, you know, after, you know, Marshall caught it over him.
Mm-hmm.
He oftentimes stuck his hand in there and tried to get the ball out, and sometimes he did that. He did have a lot of tackles, and he did get beat. But I think some people are blowing it a little out of proportion. I've seen sophomore slump thrown around a little bit, and I think that's a little too harsh.
I would agree that it's too harsh in terms of saying sophomore slump. I mean, you can't say that in 1 week. I just, you know, I did think that, you know, there were some plays that we saw him make at the end of last year that we did not see him make early in the game. He got better as the game progressed, and you bring out a good point. Consider who he was trying to cover, and he won't have that kind of a physical real mismatch most weeks. Most weeks he won't have that. He will have it a few times because there are bigger physical receivers in the league overall, but, you know, I'm again, going back to the original premise here, I'm going to cut him a little slack. I dinged on him at first. Now I'm backing off. Now I'm going to let him do his job. We'll revisit that after this week.
Yep, and you know what? This week he's going up against Vincent Jackson.
Right.
You know, another big physical receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if maybe the second week back with the same type of receiver he's going against, maybe that will help him out. You know, if he struggles against this type of receiver again this week, you know, then we can start, you know, looking into it a little bit more and maybe a little red flag pops up. But like, you know, people have said it often takes many weeks to really know what the team is, and I just think some people need to, you know, you don't need to go east or west so much, you know.
Right.
It's just kind of like, let's try to, you know, stay even keeled and just try to let this play out.
That's a good point. Good point. I hope your I hope your studies are going well, buddy.
All right, yeah, they are, and thanks for having me on.
All talk right, man. Soon. We'll talk to you soon. Derek, University of Arizona, in the playbook. Got good stuff. You might want to check it out from time to time. All right, let's pop through some other emails here. Let's see. Fat Pat. Sup, John? Here's my nitpick. Gostkowski's 48-yard field goal. If it's not bad enough that he missed it, but it was way off. My sis barely knows football, and even she said, what the hell was that? Next one. Yeah, well, you know, okay. He's not perfect. Julian Edelman, fielding a punt on the one-inch line. Now, he's pretty talented, but he's no Hester, buddy. Hope he doesn't try that again. That's all. You know what, those are actually two pretty good nitpicks, to be honest with you. You're right, Edelman probably should not have fielded the ball on the one-inch line. I would agree with that, but, you know, he was trying to be aggressive. Sometimes that can hit you, but he was trying to be aggressive. Owen sends this email, points it out, and this is something that was tweeted earlier by our buddy Mike Rodak at ESPNBoston.com, but Patriots, you know, even though they gave up a ton of yards, they actually did a pretty good job in third down defense. I brought this up, you know, with Derek just a couple of moments ago. 2 of 14, they allowed the Dolphins conversion on third down. Red zone defense, they allowed 3 touchdowns and 6 trips. That's not bad. So it tells me that they buckle down in the red zone, and they certainly know how to stuff it on third down. Now, if you have a defense that is capable of performing well in those two particular areas, then you got a defense that's capable of growing and learning on the job and getting better as this 17-week regular season unfolds. Just pointing that out. John in South Carolina. My biggest issue with the defense was the defensive ends and linebackers being loose, contained on both the quarterback and running back. However, I think the defensive line is greatly improved. I have the same fear as last year. We can't cover quick pass situations. I don't know how we get better at covering the quick pass. Do you think the increased numbers in the passing game are being caused by an increase in touchbacks? Maybe we have more scoring drives that we have to travel 80 yards. That's actually a decent point, John. Teams are starting further away, by and large, from the end zone, so there's a little bit more of a sense of urgency to get down the field and probably a little bit more sense of urgency to take bigger chunks of yardage, therefore throw the football more. I'll buy that. Sounds like that's just basic logic to me. Covering in quick pass situations? Well, teams are probably doing that because they know the Patriots have beefed up the defensive line, knowing that it might be more difficult inherently to run the football. And what was Bush, 11 for 38 in terms of carrying the football on Monday night? Not a lot there, right? You probably see teams utilize the short passing, short intermediate passing game as opposed to running the football. Now, who does that sound like? Stop me if you've heard that before. It's exactly what the Patriots have done to other people over the last several years, utilizing the short passing game, the bubble screens, the inside slant routes, you know, the possession receivers. Patriots just having done to them what they've done unto other people. It's all about the adjustment. Let's see what kind of adjustment they make. Mike in San Diego. FYI, you guys are playing POD, a local SoCal band, in and out of breaks. They hate the Patriots. After a Charger lost to the Pats a few years ago, the band posted a picture of the Pats logo with genitals in his mouth. Typical San Diego sore losers. They shouldn't be on your program. Did you guys know that? Did you guys know you were playing POD? I had no idea. I had no idea on that one. But Mike in San Diego says we're doing that. Our guys, though, are not listening to me right now, so that's okay. Did you hear that, Kevin? Did you guys hear that? What that last emailer was saying?
Nope, sorry.
You guys are playing POD, a local SoCal band, in and out of breaks. He says they hate the Patriots. After a Charger lost to the Pats a few years ago, the band posted a picture of the Pats logo with genitals in his mouth. Yes. Uh-huh.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
There. Does that make you feel better now, Mike? Says typical San Diego sore loser. They shouldn't be on your program.
You should know. I got a little wiener.
Well. All right. So whatever bump music you were playing, watch it. We don't want to give San Diego any props. Okay. Let's see. All right, what else we got here? I got a couple more that I want to sneak in. Gabe says, John, just a quick question. With the D-line being rotated in and out throughout the game, except good old 75 mostly, so that it kept the guys mostly fresh for the whole game in the Miami Heat, it almost looked like another BB genius scheme. Not only did it force Henning to rush a lot of his throws, but he never could get a good read or set his protections for the game with consistency. So with that in mind, do you think this will be something we'll see more of in future games because it's a moderate success? Depends on, you know, through film study, whether or not you think a quarterback is susceptible to that. Some quarterbacks, and I would allow that Phillip Rivers being a little bit more of a physical QB, a little bit more willing to stand strong in the pocket and maybe not have the happy feet like a Chad Henne might have a tendency to have, I would say that you might not have as much success against a guy like Rivers in particular than you might have against Chad Henne. Just a quick thought. Gene says, heat exhaustion and stroke symptoms from high heat and humidity can mimic concussion symptoms. I think the medical staff had to be cautious with Mike Wright because of his history. Eric's gone now, but I didn't hear him say Mike Wright was not on the field today. No, he was not on the field today. And apparently there was some kind of a head injury. We don't know if it's another concussion, but he was not on the field today. Jacob, I'm a huge homer. I will admit it. So I always look at the positive side. So positive them to me was Solder and Dowling. I thought both played great for rookies. Solder was my one superlative that I mentioned at the top of the show, Jacob. I thought he was outstanding, especially having to go from the left side to the right side, knowing that that's a completely different position that you have to play. He picked it up effortlessly. He pancaked Cameron Wake on a couple of occasions, which was outstanding. Solder to me is, you know, he's the three-star guy of the game. Let's use a hockey term, right? He's the three-star hero of the game. He was unsung, but he allowed Brady the opportunity. A lot of that opportunity. No question. Offensive line in general was huge on Monday. Dan Copen goes down late in the second quarter with what we think is a fractured ankle. He's out 6 to 10 weeks now, but he won't be put on IR because they hope he can come back before the end of the year. Dan Connolly moves in. Seamless effort at center. Seamless. This is why the versatility on that offensive line is so key. And again, Donald Thomas signed to the 53-man roster today on the offensive line. So key to have that versatility on the line. Razai Dowling as well, you know, in the plays that he showed us, we saw the ability for a bigger, more physical cornerback, which we really haven't had a lot of here, not in recent years anyway, and, you know, he's got some potential. It's the first time we've really had a chance to see the guy because he wasn't on the field at all during the preseason with an injury. They obviously like him. He's obviously going to stick around for a while. He's going to get his chance. He's definitely going to get his chance. All right. More Facebooker here. Gustavo says, John, why are people still talking about Ocho Cinco? The offense is great. With all due respect, we don't need him right now. I just wish the big plays on our defense stop. That's my nitpick. Secondary's fault is what he says. Well, as we sort of talked about, Gustavo, certainly it is. That's the bottom line. Buck has to stop somewhere, right? But because, again, they were in a lot of man-to-man situations, a lot of man-on-man stuff, no zone to speak of, a lot of individual, one-on-one, battling going on, you're going to have some of that. Let's get into the meat of the season before we have any real worry. Got to cut them a little bit of slack where that's concerned. Dagmar says, John, I had the chance to go to the Pats game Monday. Had a blast watching the game. Think it was a good way to start the season, although some things that happened had me worried for what is the rest of the season. The O-line and the defensive backfield are my concerns moving on. On the other hand, I would like you to touch on a reported news by MSNBC that a group of former NFL players, including Hall of Famer John Hanna, filed suit against Tom Brady, DeMaurice Smith, and Mike Vrabel with regards to negotiations that took part during the lockout period. That has to do with concussion issues. And I think what they want to have addressed are concussion issues that, you know, not only current but especially former players have suffered with, and to make that a part of, I think, some of the retired players' income that have coming back to them. I think it's a procedural issue. I think it's going to be addressed. It probably isn't getting addressed soon enough by the former players for their liking. That's why the lawsuits come about. I think it will be addressed. So I don't really think, again, we'll kind of follow along. But I'm not sure that there's a whole heck of a lot to go with where that's concerned right now. Jonathan. John, good to hear you again. My nitpick from the game has to be the almost sacks we got. Throughout the game, our front seven got real good pressure on the QB, but there were a number of plays that felt we got pressure and knockdowns, but didn't get the sack and bothered me. P.S. If somehow we got Mariska Hargitay to be a guest on the show, I think you could score me some Pats tickets. Okay, well, listen, if we can get Mariska Hargitay on the show, then, you know, although she's spoken for now, right? She has a significant other, doesn't she? I don't think she's married, but I do think she's dating.
I lose track of all these things. Well, she's it's enough just trying to keep up with the football players. She can't keep up with their lusts of life.
Yeah, but you know who Mariska Hargitay is, right?
Yes.
You know, SVU chick.
Yeah, I know. We went out a couple times, but I
yeah. Nothing special.
You know.
What's up, Pete Shepard?
Oh, man, what isn't up? This is fantastic. What a great opening week.
I thought it was pretty good. I really liked
it. Well, I told you, I mean, the game went about almost about 95% the way I thought it would go. I said 34-24 would be the final.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this, and you just got to, you know, I still remember last year after the Patriots lost to Cleveland and they were going to suck and they couldn't do this and that. I mean, every game is going to be different, folks, okay? And I can tell you this. I'm going to tell you right now. This game this week is going to be a race to who gets to 45 points first. And it's not going to be a reflection on how bad the defenses are going to play and all that stuff. You're talking about two very extremely talented offenses and a very incredible pass-oriented league. I don't expect any big key defensive plays in this game, or a lot of them. I'm hoping the Patriots have a couple along the way. Just very much, it's going to be very similar, I think, to what Green Bay and New Orleans did last Thursday. Yeah. And that's the kind of game I'm expecting. Yeah. And it's not going to be a reflection of how bad everybody plays on defense. This is the extreme set of circumstances here with two great offenses. I just think there's going to be a lot of points again.
I think you have to kind of, and we talked about this a little bit in the opening hour, but I think you have to, unfortunately, as much as you hate doing it, you got to give a little credit to Miami.
Well,
they were prepared offensively.
They were prepared early on. I wasn't surprised they took the lead in the opening. That doesn't bother me. I mean, we talked about this.
It's a 60-minute game.
60-minute game, opening game on there. I think that, you know, the Patriots allowed, 2 of 14 on third down conversions, right, which I think is big.
Right.
And the game went, and it was, like I said, I thought it'd be nip and tuck and they'd pull away late in the second half, which is what they did. And I mean, I didn't expect 517 yards out of Brady.
Nobody did.
I certainly expected over 300. I thought that I said last week, the keys I thought were Gronkowski and Hernandez. No way was Miami going to be able to stop them, and they couldn't.
13 catches. That's
13
right.
13 catches, I think, for 189 yards.
They will be matchup problems for almost
everybody.
They
can't
play.
You can't stop both of them. You just can't. And San Diego's very talented on the offense. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to say it for today and tomorrow, the two shows I'm on. Whoever gets the 45 points first is going to win this game. That's my prediction. I'll give you the score tomorrow when we go over all the games. And it's not going to be any big, it's not going to be, McCourty got burned for this and Bodden did that and the safeties can't play. This is, if they were playing the Buffalo Bills and gave up 40 points, that's a different story, even though Kansas City was terrible the other day. But this is two of the best offenses, and I think the two best offenses in football. You're not going to stop them. You're not going to stop them. I don't care how good. It's not the 85 Bears defense out there. There's going to be a lot of points in this game.
I agree. Yep. Totally agree. What's coming up?
Well, we also have, let me see my guess.
Find your guest list.
What do I have coming up? We have Scott Blair from the North County Times, who's the beat writer for the San Diego Chargers. He's coming up. Of course, all your phone calls and everything else. We'll talk about, going to see what, I agree with you about the Ocho Cinco stuff. I think we're getting a little carried away here.
You got to back off of the guy, man.
But I am going to play the Teddy Bruschi cut because it's national now, even though it was on WEI yesterday. It's national. We'll go through that. Get the reaction if you think Teddy's, overreacting or, should we have legitimate concerns about Chad Ocho Cinco? And I do think you have to take into consideration how that game was played in the hurry-up offense. I think that's huge.
I think it's everything. It's everything, Pete. That's it in a nutshell.
They were
playing pressure offense. You got to have familiarity with your receivers.
Absolutely.
It's not banging on Ocho.
I don't think Ocho Cinco is going to be Joey Galloway. Let's put it that way.
No.
I don't think so. You could tell Joey in the first couple of weeks was not going to be here long.
Yeah.
I think we all saw that out of him. I don't think Chad's going to be Joey Galloway. That's the comparison I was thinking about coming down here.
I agree with you.
And I think, obviously Chad has more left in the tank than maybe Joey did at the time, but we all thought Joey was going to be, could be like 80% of himself, 75% of himself. He'd help the team.
Right.
He kind of just didn't get it from the get-go.
I agree.
So we'll see.
We will see. We need to find something to fight about, though. This is too much, you know? We need to find something to argue about.
Well, let me see. BYU almost squeaked it out the other night.
Yeah, I know. But you're not going to get me to fight about Texas. I'm sorry.
No, I'll tell you what.
I agree with you.
But, you and I are both huge, huge college football fans, and I think college football gets a bad rap around here, unnecessarily, because all my friends are big college football fans. They all watch during the week. Some of them have a little.
But this is not a traditionally college football
but,
area.
But there's still a lot of people, I think, that are very much into college football. That was a fantastic day on Saturday.
It was great
just
game.
A great game. Even though I hate Notre Dame and I really don't care much about Michigan.
It was unbelievable. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought the Auburn game, I watched Auburn on my computer because I thought I was fascinated by that game. That was one hell of a game.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just great. And a lot of the games in the NFL were great, except for that Oakland-Denver game.
Yeah.
Was just absolutely horrific to watch that. That was kind of a downer at the end.
Painful,
But so lots to talk about. What's this? Is this a Texas fight song?
No.
What is this?
It's just,
Okay.
A little
just
bumper music to move us on so you can
start.
All right.
Yeah, great. Okay. We got some water in here. It's like the Sahara Desert in here today. We left the pizza. Pearl didn't eat it?
No, but it's there for you, buddy.
I'm done.
We let you. We'll let you have it. All right, Pete's coming up. The final word goes to Joshua, who says, here to me. He says, I love seeing the rookie Nate Solder, who stood up to the plate and manhandled Cameron Wake. Fat Albert did what he was asked to do. That was just go play football, and that's what he did. What I didn't like was Gary Guyton's performance. He can't cover the pass. Will always be beat on those type of plays. Wouldn't Dane Fletcher be better in those situations? The new defense did come up when they needed to, whether it was stopping the Dolphins on the goal line going 2-for-14 on third down. As the games go on, this defense will be better. Sadly, it just takes time. He's banging on Gary Guyton a little bit. Well, you know what? It's okay to gang, you know, on somebody.
People
every now and then.
We're banging on McCourty. Like, I know. Come on. Christ, it's week one.
Week one. Back in the playbook tomorrow. Same patch time, same patch channel, 2 p.m. Eastern. Among our guests, the one and only Russell S. Baxter.
Ooh.
Pete Shepherd's coming up next here on Patriots.com Radio.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.